Jesus, our prophet. That's the title of today's talk. We're going to look at what that means, because it's a really important feature of who Jesus is. And we're going to look at how Jesus opens it up to us, how he unveils himself to us. So we're going to look at Jesus the prophet in his humbled and in his exalted state. So we're going to look at those 3 points: what it means to be a prophet, how Jesus fulfilled it in his earthly ministry, and how Jesus fulfills it now he's at the right hand of the Father. So Lord, what we know not, teach us. What we have not, give us. And what we are not, make us. For your glorious name's sake. Amen.
Amen.
So Jesus Christ is our prophet. It's part of his name to be a prophet. We call him Jesus Christ. And now you're going to pull me up, because strictly speaking, Christ isn't a name. It's a title. It's like King Charles or President Biden. Yeah, one of them's a name, but one of them's a title. And Christ means anointed one. And in the Bible, special people with special ministries were anointed to perform that task. And interestingly, prophets, priests, and kings were all specially anointed. Anointed was a blessing with oil that God asked to be performed on these people, to say that they were set apart for this task. That's why we say Christ is our prophet, priest, and king. That's what he means. He's our anointed one, and he fulfills those three ministries: our prophet, priest, and king. But what is a prophet? A prophet is somebody who's been given revelation by God to declare it to people. A prophet is someone who has been given revelation from God and declares it to people. But what does revelation mean? Revelation is the name of the last book of the Bible, and we call it the revelation of Jesus Christ. And it means unveiling. You know, like a curtain in a theater, it's drawn back and you see what's behind it. That's what we mean by revealed revelation. It's revealed. It's God revealing something about himself that we wouldn't know unless he revealed it to us. And to that purpose, he gave prophets to declare his word, and it was written down in Holy Scripture. Why do we need God to reveal himself to us? Well, because of he's great and we're small. And also now, since the fall, he's holy and we're sinful. We have ideas of God that aren't right. Indeed, many people say, and it's true, that we make God in our image after he made us in his. We make God, you know, a lot of people, they say, oh, I imagine God to be like this. Everything they think is wonderful, they say, that's what God's like. And someone said, well, that they're just describing themselves, but projecting it onto God. So we can make God in our image because we're sinners. Not to say God hasn't revealed anything about himself in a general way. We say in Christian churches that God's revealed himself in creation and in conscience through what we call the law, but it doesn't give us a saving knowledge of him. It doesn't tell us what God is like. It doesn't tell us his personality. It certainly doesn't tell us that he's one God in three persons, say. So we need God to reveal himself to us, and he does that through a line of prophets, and ultimately, as our second reading said, through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the writer of the Hebrews, whoever it was, uses really grand terms, doesn't he? He's the radiance of the glory of God. You know, God's glory shines out of his face. He's the exact imprint of his nature. You know, if you pick up a coin, you'll still see Queen Elizabeth on there. That's what she looked like. You know, if somebody said, what does she look like? She'd say, there you go, she looks like that. It was an imprint of the nature of Queen Elizabeth on a coin. Well, God has an image, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians, Paul writes, he is the image of the invisible God. So if you want to know what God's like, look at Jesus Christ. And indeed, Jesus, as we said in the first Sunday of the year when we looked at this, we said Jesus has two natures. He is both God and man. So he can reveal God as fully as God wants to. Yes, the prophets who came before revealed something of God. They revealed his holiness. They revealed his grace. They revealed a message from him. They called people to repentance. But Jesus is God in the flesh. Paul says in Colossians 1 again, the fullness of God dwells in him bodily. And he reveals him in both natures because he's the image of God forever and ever and ever. When God looked at him in eternity, he saw his son and humanity. We were made in God's image as we looked at through Genesis, but we've fallen. Jesus didn't. Indeed, he is the truest human being. If you want to know what God's like, look at Jesus. If you want to know what humanity at its best is like, look at Jesus in the Gospels. Now, because Jesus is God, he was working in the Old Testament. But we're not going to dwell too long on that because, as the sermon note says, it's coming later on in the year, Jesus in the Old Testament. But those verses from 1 Peter chapter 1 are very, very interesting and very beautiful. It says, concerning this salvation, the prophets that prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he revealed his sufferings and subsequent glories. So Peter calls the Spirit of God that was working in the Old Testament prophets the Spirit of Christ. It was because Christ is God, so he was working. Again, we'll explore that more. He's the prophet of prophets. He's the King of kings. But he is, as we say, the truest prophet because all the other prophets are pointing towards him, and he, as God, gave them their message. So he was working, but we'll come to that later on in the year. So how does Jesus reveal God in his humbled state when he walked on the earth? How did he do it? Well, he showed us God's character and will. He said in John 14, verse 9, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. That's when Philip says to him, we've been, show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us. And he says, I've been with you all this time, and you still don't know me. You've seen the Father. I've shown him to you. I'd believe in God if he revealed himself to me. He has. In the Lord Jesus Christ. And he shows us the character and will of God. The character, his grace, his kindness, his generosity, his anger at injustice, his welcoming of the stranger and the outcast. That's what God is like. That's what God is like. So if you're feeling rejected today, if you're feeling lost, if you're feeling unwanted, know that there's grace and a welcome and kindness and love in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it'll go on forever and ever and ever. He shows us how much God loves us. Showed us that at the cross. So if you're feeling unloved today, look at the bread and the cup when we get to it. That's how much God loved you. He gave his son. That's how much Christ loved you. He gave his life for you. So you could be accepted and blessed and rejoiced over forever. Not because of anything you've done, but because of everything that Christ has done. In his ministry, he also fulfilled God's law. You know, he revealed it. He said, you know, his preaching, revealed God's law perfectly. Sermon on the Mount, he said, you've heard that it was said. Well, this is what it really means. You've heard it said, don't kill. But if you murder, that's where it starts. If you say don't commit adultery, but if you lust, you know, he fulfills it, he completes it. And he fulfills it in his perfect obedience and his death on the cross. You see, it's not enough for Jesus just to show us the way. That would condemn us all. Jesus as our example is wonderful, but if he's just our example, we're in real trouble, because I don't live like Jesus. Jesus as our example is our Savior. He fulfills the law, so we're united to him, and his obedience is given to us by faith. So you, if you're a Christian today, you stand before God, completely forgiven, completely accepted, completely beloved, all because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And as Augustine said, the cross is the pulpit of God's love. The cross is the pulpit. You know, pulpit is where we preach and proclaim a message. The cross is where God proclaims the message of his love to you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And that brings us to the final way we're going to look at how he reveals him in his humble state. He reveals the will of God. And what is the will of God? John 6:39, he said, the Lord Jesus said, this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. If you're a Christian, you're in Christ's hands forever, and it's God's will that you're there. And it's God's will that Jesus should lose nothing that God's given him. So you are God's gift to Jesus Christ. You are God's gift to Jesus Christ. And that's what he reveals. He reveals God's will. That his will is that we're saved and that we're his forever. And that's just in his life on earth, up to the end of his death. How does he act as a prophet now in his exalted state? In his exalted state, he was raised from the dead. God raised him on high, crowned him with glory and honor. And that's where he is now pleading for us. So how is Jesus our prophet now? Well, he ascended, and then 40 days later, he sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, he said on the night before he died, he promised the apostles the Holy Spirit would come and lead you into all truth. The Holy Spirit came down, empowered the church to go and proclaim the gospel that God had revealed in Christ. And go they did. You can read all about it in the book of Acts. He was speaking very particularly when he spoke that sermon. He was speaking to the apostles. They had a unique ministry. The Lord Jesus now, after the Spirit came, you can read about this in Ephesians chapter 4, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the pastors, the teachers, and the evangelists to build up the church. Because he is building his church. It's him that does it. Yes, we work with him, but it's his work. And the apostles and the prophets, it says in Ephesians 2, Christ is the chief cornerstone, and they're the apostles and prophets are the foundation. They were the beginning of the Christian church. They were given what we call infallible revelation, the scriptures. And then all that God is going to reveal now is contained in Holy Scripture. In one sense, God has nothing else to say to us. Everything that God says has been revealed and it's recorded in Scripture. The Scripture is God's sufficient word for us. Everything we need to believe and to do is found in the scriptures. And that was Christ's gift to us. He caused the Holy Scriptures to be written. So in his exalted state, he's given the Holy Spirit. He sent ministries to build the church up. And by the Holy Spirit, he inspired the scripture, which is the rule of life for the Christian. So how does Jesus teach us today? How does he teach us today? You know, because you've said, oh, okay, he gave apostles and prophets in times past. What about today? Well, the pastors, the preachers, and the evangelists proclaim the word, but I get your question. What does it mean to me today? How does Jesus teach me now? He teaches us by the Holy Spirit through the word, the way he always has. The way he always has. You know, you hear well-intentioned people today saying, oh, we need to bring the word and the spirit together. Why? You shouldn't have separated them in the first place. That's silly. Even at creation, God didn't speak, the Spirit didn't move without a word. Christ was the Word made flesh, and the Holy Spirit hovered on him, over him, his entire life. He was filled from the Spirit and the Word. And now the Spirit has given us the Word. So get your mind and your heart full of Holy Scripture. A person who's full of the Spirit will be full of the Word. So read, hear, sing, pray, and see in baptism and the Lord's Supper the Bible. And remember that it's all about Jesus. Ask yourself, whenever you read it, how does this point me either forward in the Old Testament or backwards in the New? How does it point me to Christ? Because everything does. Every command in the Bible is fulfilled by Jesus Christ. He obeyed it perfectly. Even the commands that say submit to the government, Jesus obeyed it perfectly. He submitted to the Jewish authorities and the Roman authorities, and they crucified him. Everything that's commanded in Scripture, Jesus fulfilled. Everything in the Old Testament that looks very grand to us, all the temple and all the sacrifices, Jesus fulfilled it. All the prophecies, all of them, Jesus fulfilled them. They're all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And commit to attending a church that preaches and teaches the gospel. I hope you agree that we do that here. Yeah, thank you. That's very nice of you. Thank you for coming. But yes, commit to it. And yes, I'm not putting anybody on a guilt trip. Life's busy, and sometimes we get ill and tired. But commit to it. Come and hear God's word preached and sing back to him praise. And take the sermon notes. There's some over there. I didn't see it before. Come to the prayer meetings. I forgot to announce that in the notices. Saturday, it's prayer meeting at Jean's house, 10 o'clock. You're back, and Daniel's back. That's good news, isn't it? Well, hey. But yeah. But yes, get into the Bible in the local church and pray. Pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the encouragement Jesus gave in Luke chapter 11. He said, if your child asked you for bread, you wouldn't give him a rock or a stone. How much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask of him? And if you've just sang that song by City of Light, saying, I want to know Jesus more, good for you. Yeah, that's the name of the group, City of Light. Yeah, sorry. They're a really good Australian group that's come out over the past few years. They're brilliant. Taking the world by storm, they are. One of their songs got me through the giant storm that was 2020. Yeah, City of Light. Christ is mine forevermore. So if you sang that song, nearly lost my point then. If you sang that song, if you want to know Jesus more, make sure you're practicing what you already know. Right? Make sure you're practicing what you already know. Everything we read in the Bible, everything we hear about at church, all the faith that we learn about it is meant to be in our heads, but it's meant to be in our hearts and our lives too. It's no good reading the beautiful passage about love that we all read at our weddings. 1 Corinthians 13, oh, love is patient and kind. It does not envy or boast. It's not irritable or resentful. It's wonderful, isn't it? Yeah, compare yourself to it. It's not wonderful. It's horrible. But you see the point. We have to put it into practice. Yeah? If you want to grow in the knowledge of Christ, and this isn't legalism, it's not works righteousness. If you're harboring sin in your life and you knowingly do it and you're resisting it, don't ask God to show you more truth. Or ask him to show you more truth after you've repented of the sin. Because he says, he that's faithful in little will be faithful in much, and he that's not faithful in little will not be faithful in much. So we invite you today to get to know Jesus Christ, get to know him better. If you're not a Christian today or you've wandered off, we'd invite you to come back to him, to receive all that he is as your prophet, as your priest, as your king, as your joy, righteousness, hope, redemption, all these beautiful things. We'd invite you to come to him this very day, just as you are, and rejoice in him, to delight in him, to receive him, to dwell on him, to live for his glory, and to say, Jesus, your name is like honey to my lips, your spirit like water to my soul, your word is a lamp to my feet. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. For his name and in his name and for his glory. Amen.
Amen.